You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
Valentine's coming up. The latest rage I should talk about a little bit, because you may be interested in that, maybe. They say forget the roses or the chocolates. How about a life-sized, realistic-looking human heart made from chocolate? Okay, so then you kind of combine. I see what they're doing here. They're combining let's just give in to our gluttony and having chocolate and using a real heart instead. Yes, edible museum's heart is either made from dark chocolate, white, or milk chocolate. It is made from a thick chocolate and hand painted. There it comes, the thing. It has a realistic looking arteries and details. And from what I've seen from the photograph, no. No, no. I mean, yes, if it was, you know, like you got that bunny shaped chocolate thing, fine. You know, if that's what the heart looked like, and it was shaped like a heart, and it had a little design on there, you know, like the bunny does, or whatever character it is, but it was obviously chocolate. But it needs to look like chocolate for me to be able to cut into it and taste it, not look like a heart, right?
Oh, you look like a man who could use more coffee.
The Sound of Life.
I don't know why senior citizens... Bull riding senior citizens. This is absolute truth. I'm not making this up. It's, I mean, they say it takes a special combination of courage and craziness to ride a bucking bull and a total lack of sanity to set one loose in a senior center. And that's what happened. But hold on. You know, there's got to be more to the story. Rodeo clown Jason Dent laughs. his laughs are his livelihood, but it's his sidekick, a one-ton bull named Ollie, who steals the show. Now, in North Carolina, I have had some friends of relatives who had a bull. And if you're in a farming community here or know somebody who has a bull, whew, you're going to have stories. I'm telling you that right now. And they are not to be taken for granted. I'll tell you that. Lawn furniture, including trash cans and picnic tables and things, are concerned out in the yard. But old Ollie lumbered into the Wesley Life Senior Community Center recently. No one scattered. Instead, the bull inched closer to the ride of a lifetime. It's a 15-year-old bull, really is a gentle giant. You would think that. You're not going to take one of those you see on the rodeo. Jason's not completely out of his mind. Jason takes Ollie to senior citizens centers, to residents, so they can experience the experience of a lifetime. And that would be bull riding. Could be it. It's a pretty amazing story. Yes, never thought you would see the headline, Therapy Bull Inspiring Seniors to Grab Life by the Horns.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
You might as well get up, do something.
The Sound of Life.
It's incredible the love that God has for you. I do not believe it's comprehensible in our brains on this earth. I do not. I've come to that conclusion. And just like God's joy, it surpasses all understanding. People who have that joy that nobody, nowhere can understand it. It is God's joy. Been pretty amazing. Sometimes it is fleeting. As Julia said, my Maggie's an artist. She likes to draw. Being the exuberant soul she is, she prefers larger surfaces. A big white wall is irresistible. Tabletops are attractive, too. In a pinch, Maggie will draw on herself if indelible markers are available, of course. Maggie's fascination with drawing is unique in my parenting experience. When she executed her first large-scale masterpiece, I used the technique that worked with my other children. I handed her a sponge and made her scrub the wall. It was a big job for a 2.5-year-old, and Maggie didn't like it at all. But the next day, she rushed up to me eagerly and said, "I need a sponge, Mommy. I draw it on the floor." Such persistence is not a matter of mere stubbornness. For Maggie, the joy of swirling a crayon in full arm motion is so immense that it has nothing to do with the idea that she's only supposed to draw on paper. She doesn't realize she's being disobedient. Since she's only two, I don't find that particularly surprising. She has time to learn. Okay. I'm a long way, Julia said, from being two. I no longer draw on walls, and I manage to avoid a lot of bigger no-nos, but there's still many times each day when I do what I feel like doing without considering what God wants me to do. All too often, it's only when I'm in bed mentally reviewing the day that I've even realized that I was disobedient. Unlike Maggie, I'm not always cheerful about saying I'm sorry. I'm never quite as willing to admit I've done wrong or as eager to get back to the drawing board. But maybe that'll come with time. I've done it again, Lord. Come wash me clean. That's a neat little devotional, don't you think, from Julia Attaway. Yep, digging it deeper. Mm-hmm. That was excerpted from a devotional book called 40 Devotions for Lent. Easy to race through the day and not even recognize when we're straying from what God wants or to do. I pray that you will today. Mm-hmm. Check out Psalm 51, verse 7. There you go.
Reaching your heart, the sound of life.
You know, if you're a kid getting ready to get on a bus, all that kind of stuff, you don't understand all the important things, like why your dad fusses at you about the tools you left out, or why mom fusses at you because you didn't take the chicken out of the freezer, you know, and you don't understand it when your parents go, I'm just going to go lie down for a minute. And you're like, lying down is like the worst. Oh, you'll change your tune on that. My son. And, you know, you're getting older when you make a grunt every time you move. And for some reason, I think I got in the habit of doing that, just like adding sound effects to things. Sometimes I do that. There are people that do that. They're very annoying. You know, people look at me, what was that? What's the matter? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm just throwing in my own sound effects. You know, that's why I eat lunch alone. When you're a kid, that is the worst, isn't it? And now you're like, I just want some me time. Can I just eat in peace alone, you know? And as you get older, you can basically understand Squidward's character a lot more from SpongeBob. It's like, oh, yeah, Squidward. Yeah, I can relate to him and all that. My favorite, besides, you know, like, well, we have our own food at home talk, things like that. But it is when you're at a certain age, you're like 15. And you're like, why are mom and dad always watching HGTV all the time? You're 23. And you're like, man, that granite countertop makes that kitchen pop.
Got that right.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The Sound of Life.
Princeton University professor says the key to companies and institutions restoring public trust may lie in a sometimes overlooked source. I fell out of my chair. The wisdom of the Bible. Whoa! David Miller is the director of the Princeton University Faith and Work Initiative. They released a white paper, I guess that's official, this month, declaring that, and I quote, religious traditions have amassed extraordinary wisdom in learning about human nature, brokenness, and healing. End quote. That can be instrumental in helping institutions restore public trust. Paper focused on what is known as the Abrahamic faiths, which basically includes Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. This year, Eidelman Trust Barometer, which surveys worldwide attitudes about public trust, found that, quote, none of the four societal institutions it measured, business, government, media, and non-governmental organizations, are trusted. And it reminds me of this. I just saw a Barner study done. People who are not Christians really don't trust Christians. They don't think Christians are up to any good or anything. You know, nothing good can come out of that. They just don't trust them at all. They don't think that there's wisdom there, you know, for them and stuff. So, wow, we need some fixing, don't we? I guess that's the thing you have to realize is in any organization or in yourself. Of course, I'm one of those people that believes that change comes through the individual. You know, I'll never forget years and years and years and years and years. Well, back in the 80s, probably late 80s, Promise Keeper time, you know, that. And I'm sure it was a speaker to men talking about the change coming to you personally. And then the change that will make change in your family. Change in your family will make a change in your neighborhood. Change in your neighborhood makes a change in larger community and the city and stuff. No doubt about it. That's how institutions are going to change. That's how prisons come from having a reputation of being a despicable place that hardened criminals are to being a place with a Christian radio station and sending out missionaries. It actually happened. That's one of the most phenomenal things. That is all a God thing, that change in that. But it starts with the individual. You know, Bart Millard saw his father, who he said, and I quote Bart, he was a monster. And I saw what God did and changed him. He was a different person. You may have seen that in people. Maybe that happened to yourself. Anyway, but we know it. I know it. You know, kind of like, yeah, Princeton University professor, does it make sense there? But it can apply. Pretty cool.
The Sound of Life.
The name of the TV series is The Chosen, which is about the life of Jesus. First ever crowdfunded. I remember the season one, which is the shepherd surrounding the birth of Jesus, was out. I know I saw it for a couple of years. It was out. And I don't know how many thousands of people got on board. It's the number one crowdfunded TV/film project of all time. They got enough money to do it. They made 9 episodes of season one. So it's been out for a while. It is the life of Jesus Christ. And I thought it was well worth watching. It's fascinating. It's emotional. It's not like anything that's ever been done. Okay, I'm not trying to sell it. I'm just saying it's easy. You can Google it by putting in The Chosen, and it'll come up. You can see scenes there, official scenes and things like that there. But I was watching the director talk about a very powerful scene where Jesus is calling some disciples, Simon Peter, one of those. They're in the boat. And I think the way it's that they depicted Jesus is on the shore, and they've come in, and Jesus wants them, of course, to throw the net on the other side of the boat, throw it on the right side of the boat. And he's like, teacher, not to dispute you or anything, but, you know, we've been doing this all night. There's nothing there. And Jesus is looking at him, and they're looking at each other for, it seems like, forever. And he finally says, okay, all right, I'll throw it over. Wise move, wasn't it? It's easy for us to see that Jesus is working, but he did it. And there's a lot of people watching that. It's daylight, you know, people are gathered around the shore. He threw it over, waits a couple of seconds, boom, it almost pulls the boat over. That's how many fish are there. So how do you create that? The director was talking about, he said, man, we were closing in on the deadline. They were just finishing up the boat. He said, well, hey, we didn't know, we put it in the water. We didn't know if it was going to float. They put it in the water. Hey, the boat is floating. Okay, well, that's a good sign. You know, but what do we do with those fish? They had put out calls to different places, which I don't know where they were, but a lot of different sources for a large number of fish, and they all fell through. And they didn't know what they were going to do. They were at a point just like the fishermen were. What do we do? The only thing resource they had was Jesus. They admitted that. He said, I admit it. The only peace that I had was the fact that God was in control of this. And I kept going back and forth between like, what, we're done. We're done. I don't know what we're going to do. To, I've got peace because God is in this and he's going to do this. And I know somehow he's going to do it. So they had this idea. Okay. If we're not going to have real fish, we'll have computer generated fish. I'm letting you in on a little bit of a secret here. All right. But when you watch it, you will be amazed if you have not seen it yet. You'll be blown away what they did or what God did. So they created, you know, you have a green screen is when you're going to display something behind a scene in a studio. You can put anything you want behind there on that green screen. But for some reason, it has to be that color green. So they created the green blob. It's the most amazing thing. They put these balls in some bags somehow, and they tried different things. It didn't work. And it just wasn't working right, and they just kept praying, and they finally had the green blob in the net, and they were trying to get it over, and they got it up, and they hoisted it up over the boat, and they got it on the boat, and they were genuinely, when you see that reaction, they're like, yes, we did it, yeah, it's real. He said the director and all the people watching on the set were just trying like crazy not to make a sound, but still screaming in exultation because they pulled it off. And now the other thing, okay, we got the green screen part. Now we have to create realistic looking fish. And the man who was doing that with the computers just was stuck. He just kept trying one thing after another. And they, you know, this, the director says, God will come through. God will come through. Somehow will come through. One of the other directors said, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you have an idea, the day before it's due, and you go and you try that. He said, that is clearly God. He said, I never thought about it before. And so he tried it, and man, it worked unbelievably. And he said, just like God did that day, taking what we have, taking our doubts and wonders and going, okay, I'm going to throw it over. I'm doing this. I don't know what's going to happen. Just like that very day that Jesus stood there on the shore as they were making this, he said he really came through with a miracle, just like he did that day. So it was a really cool little inside behind The Chosen. So you can watch. It's a very popular scene, I think, when all the fish come and stuff, and they decide to follow Jesus. It's part of the episode, 9 episodes of season 1. Check it out. The Chosen.
A great way to start your day.
Go ahead. Make my day.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The Sound of Life.
Well, when you get pulled over and you're driving a giant hot dog-shaped vehicle, causes attention. And there's a handful of those around, and I don't know if they're still looking for somebody. They may be after this Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, a story that they will not relish, as posted. I guess the deputy with the county sheriff's office pulled over the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile over the weekend for a traffic violation. Sheriff officials said the driver was grilled about the move-over law in the state of Wisconsin, which requires drivers on the road, and we have that here in New York, to move over to the side of the road when an emergency vehicle rushes to the scene with their lights and sirens on. When a deputy saw the driver wasn't pulling to the side of the road, they concluded a traffic stop on this 27-foot sausage-shaped vehicle. According to the sheriff's office, the driver was let off the hook, really, with a verbal warning. But just to make sure you knew what was going on there, the incident was just the latest in the Wienermobile's history of crashes, spinouts, and minor traffic violations. Well, it is a 27-foot hot dog shaped vehicle. The real question that I want to know from the sheriff's office is, how in the world do you pronounce the name of the town that they were in Wisconsin? Because we all say it wrong. Does anybody, how do you say that?
Waukesha, Wisconsin.
There you go, right there.
Hey, this is Drew from We Are Messengers, and thank you for listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Amazing story about this attorney named Denise. She's a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan. She made reservations for the Super Bowl last February. That's how big a fan she is. In fact, she was in court in her county in early October, and the judge set the trial date for February the 3rd, and she said, well, I'm not going to be able to make it because I'm going to be coming back from the Super Bowl. And the judge just laughed and said, well, I'm going to keep that date, but if they make it, you can have your continuance. And so she filed paperwork this week reminding the judge of his promise, ending the official filing with Go Chiefs. The judge, of course, granted her continuance, which gave her something more emotional than a big game. Now, here's the thing. Here's the real story, though. She has a friend. I think this is kind of unusual. She has a friend who is 5 years old and who loves the Kansas City Chiefs, and she's been taking her friend to every one of their ball games. That is until they played the Green Bay Packers this past year. Millie, the 5-year-old, got sick, very unexpected illness, and she died. So the attorney has been taking a pendant with her face on it. It's really pretty, really very nice. It's very large. It's almost like the size of a Christmas tree ornament with her beautiful face on there with her Kansas City Chiefs little outfit on. And so attorney Denise has been taking that with her to the games, which they have been winning. Now, here's the whole thing. This is how we get in trouble. And I'm not blaming her, because it's just one of those things that happens that I wish wouldn't happen. You know, I wish it would be broken. She didn't make it to, there was one of the games, one in Tennessee. She was supposed to go to the game in Tennessee, But she didn't go, and they lost. So she's like, wait a minute. Every time I go to the game and I take the pendant of Millie, then they win. So that's what she's thinking. So she's going to the Super Bowl and taking the pendant of Millie, which she would do anyway. So I'm almost like, oh, man, now I got to root against them. I was going to root for them. Now I got to root against them because I don't want her to think that her pendant of Millie is making them win. See, that's the thing. She says, I've never been superstitious before. Mm-hmm. We all got a little bit of that in us, honey. We're all falling. We all fall short. There's no way around it. We fall into the right circumstance, and it's like, I don't know. Maybe, you know, like Barney and Mayberry in the courthouse going, you know, there's things going on in the Twilight Zone that we don't know about, and I think we ought to stay clear.
Your daily dose of encouragement.
You got to skip the line pass. I'm giving it to you for Cup of Joe Morning Show. Yeah, thank you very much.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The sound of life.
I'm a really big fan of Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski. It's hard to realize how old he is. 70-something now. Amazing. Doing very well. I really feel for college basketball coaches. I do. You know, I think, man, you talk about... You got a bunch of kids. You're trying to get in line and do what you want to do to try to grow them. Of course, that's really a coach is, that's really the definition of being a coach. And that's why they love it, because they're given that opportunity to do that. They're not just trying to keep a bunch of high paid athletes together like on a pro team. You know, they've got these young men and women who are being molded to the way they want. But man, I tell you, it's got to be frustrating. And then nowadays, you get a really great team, they just up and leave. I just can't imagine how good some of the teams could be, you know, if they could keep some of these players around for several years. And that's how teams like Gonzaga, who else was it last year? There's a couple of teams that they keep their players for around for 4 years, unlike Kentucky and Duke, you know, where they're superstars. Boom, they get up there, play for the championship or win it or whatever, and then they're gone because the NBA wants them. Anyway, I digress. But Mike Krzyzewski did something that he's done this before. I guess a lot of people don't probably wasn't in your lifetime, maybe. But he got visibly frustrated. This is kind of how it went down on TV.
Though an interesting moment, an unusual eruption of anger from Mike Krzyzewski. See the Cameron Crazies chanting at the pit bench, and then Coach K yelling, "Shut up, shut up!" And he walked across the court as time expired on the first half to tell them they were chanting toward Jeff Capel, "He's one of us. He's one of us." Now, from what we can discern from tweets from beat writers sitting down a long press row, they were saying, "Jeff Capel, sit with us."
That was it. Now, people have said, well, they didn't say anything vulgar, really. They were just kind of like, you know, chanting as part of the college game. The Duke Cameron Crazies, what they call people, the students in the student union some years ago. Their grandfather probably started this. Certainly their father could have. But I remember back in the day when they started that tradition of the students all chanting and acting in unison. And believe you me, at Duke, they have pulled off some really funny and very clever sayings and stuff. It's really, it's amazing. And when they do it in unison, as one USC player said one time, it's kind of spooky. It really is. You know, they all point at you and stuff. But the thing is, once they, things like that have a tendency to get vulgar. And they did at one game. This is years ago. And the coach, Mike Krzyzewski, was there then, went over and got the microphone from the PA announcer. And he came on and he said, if you don't stop it, if you don't clean up your act and are not vulgar, I'm pulling my team off the floor. Wow. He actually did that. And he meant it. And that's why he gets upset. He does not like to see his school represented in the way that it was being represented. And a lot of positive comments for Coach K. Understandably, I'm thinking he's probably a little on edge. You know, he did coach Kobe Bryant a couple of Olympic medals, so he's probably still kind of maybe reeling from a little bit of that. But, you know, when they start fussing at the coach, I mean, the opposing coach, that's, I don't think a lot of people understand that, you know, but they said it wasn't, all they were saying was come sit with us. So it wasn't, you know, but anyway, he did apologize, I guess, later. So he's a classy guy. He really is. But, you know, he's, and then the reason he got upset, because Jeff Capel, he's the coach at Pittsburgh. They were playing. He played at Duke. You know, it's like, that's why I was like, he's one of us. What are you doing?
Follow Joe Hunter on Twitter. He's at DJ Joe Hunter.
A young disciple asking his mentor how to get over the guilt that when he gets still, he falls asleep. And the mentor so wisely said, you need to adjust your picture of God. That applies to you, talking to you. Picture God sitting by the fire of the universe, rocking in a chair. You're the dog that's asleep at his feet. Should you feel guilty as the dog falling asleep, or should you just take that comfort that we're here, we're together, and the world is a safe place in this moment and in this spot? Nicole Johnson is relating this story and this thought for you on a Focus on the Family Minute. She said, too many of us, our identities are wrapped up in what we do and how we perform instead of whose we are and who we know, and why our worth and value is secure. So remember that picture.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
So we've been complaining about traffic almost as long as we've been complaining about the weather. And wherever we are, there's always traffic issues. You know, I mean, I've seen it all up and down the East Coast. It's kind of funny, really. You know, everybody thinks they have the coldest winters. It's just kind of one of those things. But traffic woes in Florida, I mean, that's a real thing this time of the year because of the influx of people. You know, it's nice and warm there. This is a very good reason why people go there. So this particular group of people decided that they were going to basically protest the long red lights. And their idea was, they happen to be in the traffic at a red light. They get out of the cars, three of them, three guys. You know, this is a guy thing. They get out of the cars and they set up a folding table and chairs, and they're sitting in the middle of Cape Coral Road playing a round of card of a game of Uno while waiting for the red light. They're playing pretty fast and they're waiting for the red light to change. And they took a video of it, put it on TikTok. And it got like 8 million views because people were like, dude, that is so awesome. That is so great. You know, they were out there. They said maybe a minute. It was close. They were looking at it. You know, the problem is that unlike some countries, and this is one of the greatest things I've ever seen in the Dominican Republic, they has at the light. Maybe this is the one I was looking at. It has a countdown of how long it's going to be until the green happens, or how long it's going to be until the red happens again. You know, they count down the cycle that it's on, which I thought was pretty clever there. But they don't here, of course. And they were out there about 45 seconds to a minute, and they packed up real quick, rushed back into the car. The funny thing is, the light never did change. They sat there for another minute waiting after they got back in the local traffic, aiming to poke fun at the local traffic, which is slow during the winter particularly. They said, I thought it was kind of funny because, you know, they were out there and they got back in. They rushed to get back in and they still sat there and waited. So it actually was a real thing. You know, they could have, maybe they could have cook some burgers or something one day. Next, they'll be out there with a grill, you know, cooking burgers.
The sound of life.
All right, well, here is some news coming your way. And I will tell you, probably should get the kids off to school. Oh, yes, Valentine's Day is on the way. I do recommend frequency cards from the sound of life. But if you have a sweet tooth, a lot of brands come out with treats for Valentine's Day. And when I said a couple of songs ago a blizzard was coming, you might have guessed that I was talking about a Dairy Queen blizzard. Yes, some of these companies save their best chocolatey treats for everyone to enjoy, no matter what your status is, this year. And Dairy Queen does have you covered with some truly, as they call them, enticing treats. You be the judge. A double fudge cookie dough blizzard. Oh man, no. I mean that's a week's worth. It's coming to locations in time for February 14th. Cookie dough stuffed treat is made with vanilla soft serve blend, chocolate chip cookie dough bites, and double the fudge. So thankfully, oh, I'm not done. Rich chocolate chunks and cocoa fudge inside. Whew, wow. I would have to be, have 911 on standby there probably. But since I am gluten free and the cookie dough is a no-no, it saved me. See how that works out right there? You think, oh, that's too bad. Oh, no. Nay. I'll gladly pass by that. No regrets right there. I'll tell you that. And they're selling, well, they've got cakes. Okay. They have the same flavor, but that's their new flavor that sounds like a lot of chocolate and cookie stuff coming out.
And
the sound of life.
Talking about school kids. You know, it seems like the younger they are, the smarter they are. Something it's just absolutely amazing to me. There's this pattern of young kids, single digit ages, and they've got these ideas because they see a need and they start something, and it causes other people to come together and be inspired, and so it just balloons up. You know, they basically give God room to work. It doesn't actually get mentioned on the news program that covers these stories. But I don't think it does. But I'll mention it because I see it. And a lot of times it's up to you to see God working, you know. Back the people that founded this country, a lot of people that instrumental, you know, and writing up the things like the Constitution, stuff like that, they called it providence. That was basically God working in everyday things. So you could say, well, those kind of things happen. They do. But I see God working in it. So parents at this school were behind in lunch payments. There's a lot of schools like that around the world. And Kiki Hardy is her name. She is a soft-spoken kindergartner. And she decided to take action. And you may be like, what are you going to do, right? Well, her solution was to open a cocoa and cookie stand to help out, of course. That's what kids think. First thing they think of, let's open up. We'll sell some. We'll sell hot chocolate, cocoa, cookies. Great idea. She's 5 years old. She cooked up a series of fundraisers. And as the donations started coming in, her schoolmates were amazed, of course. Everybody was amazed. They had the news team from local news TV come out. Her donation goal was to raise around $616. That was to eliminate her school's lunch debt. But now it's called Kiki's Kindness Project. Didn't just pay off her elementary school's debt. Get this, the entire school district, more than $7,000 of school lunch debt has been paid off. And she has also inspired some of her peers that are a little bit older. I mean, more mature and wiser is Dawson Spies. He's a fifth grader. He's inspired to plant trees. That's always a good thing. Rachel Chavez wants to feed the homeless. It's a pretty cool story right there. Just a kindergartner. And I can just see heaven going, oh, watch this. Watch me work in this and take care of this. Very practical need right in front of you. Right there it is, right there. And she said, I'm going to do something about it. This is my plan. And God said, watch this. I'll take care of this. And I'll make it even bigger so more people get on board and be inspired. It's pretty cool.
Listener supported, The Sound of Life.
You have a family member has dementia. You know, you desperately want to do something. You desperately think if there was a way to have a breakthrough or a way to communicate or whatever. Apparently, it is in dance and music. We've been looking at things with music for a while, which is just absolutely incredible. I guess whatever age you're in, it's something that's hardwired by our creator into us with music and dance. I think a lot of the dance happens to be the touching part of it is a really big deal. But it is very apparent in two special classes every Wednesday morning. Check them out. They're probably not exactly right away, but you might want to fly out to the I guess you pronounce it Washoe County and Wisconsin. They pronounce everything different. It's four people with dementia and their friends and family. And so some of the people that helped put it on say, I think a lot of it is the touch between the dance partners, the music. It's a dementia friendly. I guess that's the organization. The movement, the music has an impact on them. Donna Brown and her husband Ron have been taking the classes for several months. And she said, not only do I see a change in my husband who is living with Alzheimer's, but I see a change in everyone else. She said, for spouses, the class can bring back their partner, even if it's only for a short time. So they're building new memories now. This one particular couple I mentioned, you know, one they can hold on to as his disease progresses. I guess, you know, this is the course it's going to take. But man, it's amazing to have some light in there and stuff like that. It's just a really cool thing, I think. It made the notice of people at the Good News Media place, and it is good news. Dementia friendly dance class is improving lives. A pretty cool way to go. Something that's there and very simple. And I think I have long since decided that, yes, music is from God, the ability to create, right? We were made in the image of our creator. We can create something that's pretty beautiful and amazing. Don't get the big head, but, you know, we think of some pretty amazing things. And to be able to sit down and some of the music that has been done over the years, just absolutely incredible. So anyway, it gives you an opportunity to enjoy that and enjoy your loved one who's, you know, that's really debilitating. It's an awful thing, and it makes you wonder why. But there's a ray of hope in there with a friendly, dementia-friendly dance class.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.